Like Call It What You Want, which we know is your favorite podcast about the beautiful game, Vuori is committed to delivering a great experience for everyone, which is highlighted by their new perspective on performance apparel. Everything is designed to work out in, but doesn't look or feel like it. In fact, I'm rocking their Stratotech polo right now, along with their Sunday performance jogger pants, so I can be business on top when I'm on camera, but super comfortable on the bottom. And it's just the best. Vuori gear is incredibly versatile, and it can be used for just about any activity. Running, training, swimming, lounging around, hosting podcasts, doing errands, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. And for our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/call it. That's Vuori.com/call it. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/call it and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Men's national team for these June friendlies of the Nations League games. Hit like and subscribe, YouTube family. Make that happen because we have a lot to discuss. Let's get after it. Yes! What is up, everybody? Welcome to another exciting installment of In Soccer We Trust. It's an emergency In Soccer We Trust because the U.S. men's national team roster for June has been dropped. 27 players have been named to this roster. We're going to get into it very, very shortly. But also, Hollywood Heath Pierce is joining me today. I'm Jimmy Conrad. Unfortunately, Charlie Chuckwagon Davies is not around. He's traveling because he's a big timer. He's got a lot of jobs, wear a lot of hats, Mr. Chuckwagon. But also, minutes before this roster drop from U.S. Soccer, Heath Pierce, Gaga Slonina has said he's committed in his future. The goalkeeper, 17-year-old goalkeeper from the Chicago Fire, who just got called up by the Poland. Great. We're also going to talk about Thomas Tuchel's comments about Christian Pulisic and his recent performance where he may or may not miss a sitter. It's all up for interpretation. We'll get into that as well. But this is going to be a fun one. Heath, what's interesting about the Gaga Slonina news is that I thought for him to commit to the U.S., we were going to have to dangle some carrots there for him to nibble on, you know? Like, hey, we'll call you into the June roster. We'll get you. You're going to be on the 26, 27-man roster for the World Cup. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. And he's not on this roster for June. So let's start with the goalkeepers first because it's Ethan Horvath from Nottingham Forest, Matt Turner from the New England Revolution / Arsenal, and Zach Steffen from Manchester City. But no, Gaga Slonina, Heath Pierce.
Yes. I mean, I actually like this because it's on the day of a roster drop, which I think is the most statement day that you expect that there's some sort of quid pro quo going on between Gaga Slonina and the national team, some sort of secret promise of access. And I think it's another signal that there's something special happening with this national team in terms of why he's committed. Obviously, being a dual national, it's a very personal decision as to why you would commit for either national team, but he was just called in for Poland, as we had heard, and then he's chosen the U.S. and he's not even called into this camp. And obviously he's 17 years old. There's so much more time for him. He's a talented player. Charlie Davies has said it. There's still a lot of his game that needs to be worked on until he's really international caliber. But to make a statement like that on a day that a roster comes out, on the day that your name will not be on the list, I think is a really great sign of his commitment and that there wasn't strings attached to it.
No, and I agree. I think that was pretty mature. We had a theme earlier in our other podcast today about the collective bargaining agreements for the women's national team and men's national team. If you didn't catch that, make sure you go listen on any podcast platform of choice or catch it on the YouTubes. But it seems like a mature decision from Gaga Slonina as well. But let's go through the roster. I'm just going to name all the names for everybody listening and not watching because it's up on the screen right now. As I mentioned, Horvath, Steffen, Turner are our goalkeepers. Defenders, George Bello, who moved from Atlanta United to Arminia Bielefeld into the Bundesliga. Mm-hmm. They just got relegated, unfortunately. Reggie Cannon from Boa Vista in Portugal. Cameron Carter-Vickers, who won the Scottish Premiership with Celtic. Aaron Long, back to being close to full health with the New York Red Bulls. Anthony Robinson getting the call in. Joe Scally, I think, is a name that people are going to be hungry to see. He's going to get some opportunities here. DeAndre Yedlin, Walker Zimmerman. Those are the defenders. Midfielders, Kellen Acosta, Tyler Adams, Luca De La Torre. Weston McKennie's back in, but apparently they're going to really manage his minutes because he just started training with Juventus. Georgi Mihailovic from Montreal. He's been in fantastic form for his club in MLS. Nice to see him get a call back in. Yunus Musah, Christian Roldan, and Malik Tillman. Now, Malik Tillman just announced a couple days ago that he's going to make a one-time switch from Germany to the U.S. Apparently, the paperwork has not gone through just yet, but when it does, they're hopeful that he'll get some minutes in these four games in this particular window. Brendan Aaronson, Paul Areola, Jesus Ferreira, Jordan Morris, Christian Pulisic, Timothy Weah, and Haji Wright, who has been tearing it up in Turkey. Now, there were a couple things that we need to discuss, right? We need to discuss a couple things. Ricardo Pepi, Greg Berhalter said we're going to get a mental break, and he is honoring that and giving him a break, okay? Yeah. Sergiño Dest, still out hurt. Gio Reyna, still out hurt. Chris Richards is still out hurt. They're all recovering from injury. That's why they're not going to get called in. Jordan Pefauk and Josh Sargent are both injured, and Daryl Dike was given the chance to continue his rehab progress. So apparently he was still on the radar, and they're going to give him a chance to rehab. Now, I guess Greg is going to emphasize, apparently in a press conference or in the press release, that the door isn't closed by any means on guys that weren't on this roster. There are injuries and other factors that influence his choices for this particular window. I just named all the names. Some pleasant surprises in there. Guys that have merited this inclusion. Are you happy with this roster overall?
My long sigh isn't because of players missing due to non-selection. It's players missing due to injury, right? Players that I would like to see in this group, Jordan Pefauk being one, Daryl Dike again being one, that I just want to see healthy and competing for these spots. I do like the addition of Tillman, and I think Tillman could be a case, and we'll see how he plays in the national team, similar to what I think Yunus Musah was, where you just see something. Right. Yunus Musah, you could tell from the very beginning, whether Yunus Musah is playing or not at Valencia, I want him on the field with the national team. Would you agree? And yes. I think you get a few of these types of players that are young enough, that have enough of that ability where you're like, man, every game they're getting better. Every game they're showing something and they're showing this maturity. And so I think he could potentially be a player that is one of your few sort of doesn't fit the mold in terms of first team minutes and experience and all those things that could be a really bright side for this team. But again, we thought that about Joe Scally, who was actually playing, got called in, didn't seem like the right time. Greg got a couple looks at him, has been in and out of the team the second half of the season. But he's another one that I'm excited about because you're like, okay, a game of less pressure, but ultimately for him, a game to prove himself that he's at the international level, that he can compete, that he should be in consideration for the World Cup, especially considering his ability to be versatile in a number of positions.
So when I look at this, what I think is up for grabs, everybody humor me here for a second, okay? I feel like there's still space for our outside backs. Now, obviously for our center backs, undoubtedly because of Miles Robinson tearing his Achilles. That starting spot at the moment is next to Walker Zimmerman, and I think that's up for grabs. Now I feel like our depth is kind of there. They got to get that figured out. What I find interesting is that Joe Scally's in, George Bello's in, we got DeAndre Yedlin in. Mm-hmm. Okay, Scally can play either side, right or left. He did it for Borussia Mönchengladbach. He can play on either side. I'm wondering, for like these little mini matchups in camp, who can outlast the other? Who can play better when they get their minutes? I really feel like George Bello is going up against Joe Scally in that back line. From a goalkeeper perspective, I think it's between Zach Steffen and Matt Turner to see who starts. So I'm curious to see who gets the first game against Morocco and who gets the next game against Uruguay, right? And then I feel like when we get to Granada and El Salvador in the Nations League, I don't want to say hate. Hate sounds really strong. But I dislike when we might try a Joe Scally in that game where the competition isn't as stiff as it would be against an Uruguay or Morocco. How do we know how Joe Scally is going to be in a World Cup game if we're rolling him out against Granada for 60 minutes? You know what I mean? It's not like for me. So there's all these little mini battles here. Now Cameron Carter-Vickers coming back in is interesting. He's going to be battling Aaron Long and Eric Palmer-Brown, who we just interviewed on In Soccer We Trust. Earlier this week, and excited to have him on and a friend of the show. There's so many questions here, but these are all good questions to have because it means we actually have some talent and some depth that we know we can trust. Hopefully, we're going to learn that in these next four games. By the way, just so you guys know the schedule, June 1st, we play against Morocco. June 5th, we play against Uruguay. June 10th, we play against Granada at home. And then finally, we hit the road to play El Salvador in El Salvador on June 14th. Those are the four games in this. This is a big window because we only have two more friendlies after this, everybody. So there's going to be a lot of evaluating, I think, in these four games.
Yeah, and that's obviously what I think the approach that we took. I had a chance to talk to a couple people who were left off of the roster, who spoke to Greg having conversations with them about needing to evaluate some other players in terms of knowing where those players stood in the pecking order, what they bring to the table, and that this was an opportunity to evaluate. And when I think about that starting tandem, I mean, this is what's hard, right? I don't think that Miles Robinson was in the greatest of forms. I think that position had an asterisk next to it in terms of being a starter. Now, right. I think it was his spot to lose, but I think it was a spot that wasn't a lock. And now it's completely open and not a lot of time to find out who that person next to Walker Zimmerman could be, because we know that that's Walker Zimmerman's back line now, right? He's taken responsibility, accountability of that back line.
Okay.
And who's going to be the one that is able to impress in a very small amount of games, right? If you're going in, Jimmy, you know what it was like, right? And there was times that you feel like this when you're in the national team. Okay, I'm going to get Morocco and I'm going to get Uruguay, and then someone's going to get Grenada and they're going to get this easy game, and you're going to feel, you know what I mean? Like where it starts to want some balance, like, oh, you're going to give him that game, like where you have the ball the whole time and you're passing out of the back and every pass is completed and it's not under pressure and things like that. And that's why I actually like Joe Scally in terms of the versatility. We'll be able to test that. Or maybe you say, okay, at Gladbach or in the Bundesliga, which is a very high level, it's not quite the same as the national team, because the significance of losing the ball in the national team or not making the right pass is of higher, I don't know, value, I guess, of keeping the ball than in the club level. And I'm kind of on a little bit of a wild goose chase of what I'm saying right now. But the point being that's
when you're at your best. So keep going.
Yeah. The point being that I think there's a number of evaluations that are going to be made, that when we went back and talked about what does Greg need to do in this window? What is the purpose? What do we bring in? Do we want our best 11? And would that be the value to get more games for our best 11? Or is it to be able to evaluate players to know if they can contribute to your national team at this upcoming World Cup? And I'm trying to think back, and Jimmy, maybe you felt, you know, I got called into that Germany game, March 2006, before your World Cup there. And I was one of the bubble players. I came in for Corey Gibbs. But I remember, by and large, was it not the A team for that game? And it was the best starting team? Or again, I'm thinking about 2010 also, those games leading up. They were kind of a mix, but, thinking of
what's the interesting priority. No, I'm glad you brought this up, because I think I had referenced it off camera a little earlier today about which guys on this roster could play their way into the team and which guys on the roster could play their way out of it. And I felt like in that March 2006 friendly against Germany at Westfalenstadion, where Borussia Dortmund play, was a big moment for us bubble guys. I started that game only because Eddie Pope was hurt, so I wouldn't have been a first choice, but I was on the back line with Corey Gibbs and Greg Berhalter, and Steve Cherundolo was kind of playing like a right wing back in a lot of different ways, because we kind of rolled out three center backs in that one. But and I remember after that game, we lost 4-1, and I just didn't play with, I played a little timid. Let me say it like that. I didn't go take the game to Miroslav Klose or Bastian Schweinsteiger, Michael Ballack, or those guys. I didn't feel like I put my stamp on things. And I do regret being as timid as I was. And I remember getting on the plane with Brian Ching, and neither one of us really drank a lot at that particular time in our lives, but we both thought that we just played our way out of the team. And I remember being in the elevator afterwards, and I was looking for some, I guess I needed a little bit of a hug, right? And because I was feeling pretty bad, and I was in the elevator with Casey Keller, and he, you know, obviously he's embarrassed. He gives up four goals. It was 0-0 at half, by the way. We lost 4-1. So that kind
of by the way, Casey Keller was wearing that beanie that doesn't cover your ears on that camp in goal. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that.
I specifically remember
that, being like, what are you doing? Wasn't he at Gladbach at the time as well? Like,
I think he was.
Casey, what are you doing with that hat on?
I think he took that loss hard, Casey. Yeah. And in a way that I wasn't necessarily empathizing with, or not really appreciating and understanding what he was going through. But we were in the elevator after the game, just me and him. And I kind of, you know, when you throw out that comment and somebody's like, nah, man, you played okay. You know, you're like, you're fishing for that one comment. Oh, just make just, and he's like, yeah, it wasn't good enough. You know, that's what he said to me. And so I was looking for some warmth, and I got the coldest of colds. Honestly, I was so crestfallen, because I'd worked so hard to put myself in a position to maybe make the team. that to kind of hand it off by playing timid really bummed me out. So I went back into my room. I for whatever reason didn't have a roommate that camp, and I cried, dude. I cried and I cried because I thought that was it. I thought I'd played my way out of the team. And so when Chingy and I were back on the flight, we were the only ones on that flight because we were flying to the same destination. We both were like, why don't we have a drink? We're not going to make the World Cup team anyway, you know? And so we had a drink and had a good time on the way back. But it was heartbreaking. And I feel like we're now in that section of time, right? We now are in these friendlies now where things are going to be determined. Greg has to make hard decisions. This isn't a, hey, we got 10 games in qualifying and a whole bunch of friendly. We're getting to crunch time. And this is really, and I like that there's that type of pressure because I think you're going to figure out who can help you in high pressure situations and who can't.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, that's the importance of this because I had my own sort of feelings of going into that final camp before the 2010 World Cup. It was like 10-day camp or something, thinking like, does any of this really matter? Like, if I'm going into a final camp, really, I mean, just sort of like you're going into the final camp going like, at that point, I was probably at like 30 caps or something like that. Most of them under Bob. Like, is anything I do really going to have a significance in this? And it kind of allowed me to just go open and free and play. Now, I didn't have a great game in the Czech Republic match that we had as like the final tune-up before the night that they were announcing the roster. I didn't play spectacularly.
But isn't that the thing, though? If you're on the bubble, and this is what hurts, if you don't play well, it gives them a reason to be like, well, he didn't play well right there. Like, even if they were kind of leaning towards you and they're kind of leaning towards, you know, you're like, it's between you and somebody else. It's those goddamn fine margins that are going to work against you.
Well, that's what like my own mentality, and this is living within the vortex of my own brain, which is not that fun at times. But I was like, again, I go back to this. I think it was El Salvador we were playing against. There was a player coming in for me. I ended up whipping the ball into Ching. He scores on a header. This is 2010. I ended up playing really well that game. That in my mind was like, okay, that got me the call up to the Holland game, which was at Amsterdam Arena. And I came in the second half after Johnny Bornstein got eaten alive by Arjen Robben, in the first half. And I was like, I don't want to play against this guy either, dude. He was killing everybody. I was like, Johnny, keep Johnny in. So I come in, also had a pretty solid performance. We had some momentum swings in that game where we started to come back. I think we scored our goal when I was on the field. And again, I'm living within the most horse blinders of horse blinders in terms of like my own destiny, right? And I feel like that performance got me to the final camp, which I was under the impression that Bob wanted to take me out during that game. Why would he take me out in that game if I had any importance in the national team? I get to the next game. I come in, I think it was halftime or early second half. You know, what do I do if this is, you know, I got to prove myself. I thought I did well there, even though we lost. Okay, that got me to the final camp. And then I was in the final camp going like, am I too caught up in all of this? But when you're a fringe player, you're a bubble player, you're looking at any minute with a chance to be able to almost unfairly have to prove yourself. And that's what a lot of these players are going to be going through in this camp. There's a number of guys, when I look at this roster, Jimmy, that feel like under, you know, take the injuries out of this group, but out of what the team is suffering from right now, or actually include the injuries of the players that are not there. And you're talking about, when I think about bubble players, George Bello, Reggie Cannon, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Eric Palmer-Brown, Joe Scally. I mean, you're starting to eliminate where you're like, just by numbers, you can't do that. But with all the injuries, you start to think through this, right? And then they go into the midfield, and I think Mihailovic, Christian Roldan, Malik Tillman, those are my bubble players there. And then up top, you're talking about, you know, between Areola, Jesus Ferreira, Jordan Morris, you know, Haji Wright. Yeah, that's a lot of bubble players that if we have our full strength roster, which again, we won't have because Robinson is now out, but you're talking about a number of them. We'll probably bring more forwards as more bubble forwards than you would anywhere else. But there's a lot of guys with a lot to prove that probably don't feel all that secure in their national team situation. Whereas like, at least I remember going into 2010, there was 18 guys that you knew were a lock. It was just from there, who could bring enough value to be in, or say not 18 is maybe a lot, but 16 players that were a lock, you know, for sure. Your first subs, your midfielders, your guys that start a game, out a game, like that, your Kellen Acosta types, right? That are super valuable. But beyond that, there's a lot of players that now have four games of a number of different sort of some of consequence, but against different opponents, and then two friendlies against top teams that have to be able to harness that insecurity into a performance that gets them on that plane to Qatar.
Now,
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What I want to say, this is speaking from experience, what I really value about this particular camp, and this isn't unique to us because every national team is going to have the benefit of this, but we have arguably, what, 14, 15, 16 days together? And what used to piss me off when I get called in, not that I was ever pissed about being called in, but when I get called into a normal FIFA window, and we're going to see it in September when we have the two friendlies, right? You're going to have basically a week with each other. It's impossible to try to beat out one of your teammates for a starting position in those windows, Heath, because the guys are coming from a long trip. The coaching staff's not going to like put you through like the hardest training session of all time. So you never really get to compete against the guys that have already been quote unquote called first choice. So how do you ever, when you're up against them, how do you ever kind of chip away? Like, hey, I'm closing the gap, coaching staff. I'm getting a little bit closer to the guys ahead of me. But if you can't demonstrate that, it all comes back to your club form. So what I feel like is what's happening here with this unique window of 17 days together, or maybe even longer, maybe 20 days together, if they have a week in advance of all these games. That's an incredible opportunity for these guys that are on the bubble to actually have some moments to compete and to know that they are going to get some minutes in some valuable games to prove themselves. Yes, some of them are probably going to be like, oh man, I want to prove against, you know, Morocco or Uruguay, not Grenada. Not that they won't take those minutes, but the competition's different, right? So
yeah,
there's a lot to unpack there. And I always remember being frustrated, like, I'm never going to get past Eddie Pope and Gooch. Like, if I never get a chance to get on the field, how am I ever going to like chip away at that type of stuff? So it's a big opportunity because we have an extended window here for one thing, on the field performance. And then this is really important, Heath. This is why I made the 2006 World Cup roster, in my humble opinion, is that I had a great attitude off the field. I feel like I made the team better by my attitude and my spirit and my positivity, which always brought you down, of course. But that's a joke. That's between Heath and I, by the way.
I do remember being called out by Bob Bradley for sitting with everybody at dinner tables. I was with that group. You're with that group. And it was seen as like this insecurity that I didn't have a group or that I was like gossiping or something like that. And I remember thinking about like, I felt like You know, I was invited when we'd have our Tuesday evenings out by the older guys, you know, with Tarundolo and Bocanegra and all of these guys. Tim Howard would invite me with that group. I also had my age group of guys, which is your Sasha Kleschens, Benny Feilhabers, you know,
Robbie Rogers,
you know, Stu Holden, like that group of guys. And I always prided myself in just trying to be likable and like fit in with these guys and have similar interests. And I remember being called out for that as like a thing of like not having my group or my crew, which I thought was very bizarre, but
it is bizarre.
Stamp the end of that. Cause I just had to throw that out. It had nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, but wanted to
No. But I think it does actually play into how someone fits into the greater good of the team.
Yeah.
Right.
So this,
and are you, cause there's a lot of comments right now. Where's John Anthony Brooks? Where's John Brooks? Why isn't John Brooks in?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm surprised that you're surprised about that. John Brooks hasn't been called in and been an influential part of this conversation with the national team for quite some time. And I don't think any performance he was going to give with Wolfsburg was going
to
change.
It's not a club form thing. There's more than that.
There's got to be something more to that. And I think it might have to do with when John Brooks isn't playing, there's got to be some added, I don't know. I don't want to designate or add a perception to him. I don't know John Brooks, but I don't know what else to surmise from this situation. Like what else could it be about John Brooks?
Yeah.
As to why he's not getting called in. And there must be something off the field that is not jiving well, or he called out Greg to his face and there's like a beef between the two, which happens from time to time.
Yeah. It's funny that, you know, I remember specifically thinking about, okay, John Anthony Brooks' context. There's obviously something bigger to it. And you knew that it was the Pablo Mastroianni where like something had happened. And I'm not saying that's happened with Brooks, but we knew when Pablo never came back into the national team, why, you know, it was
I knew why I can tell you now, if you want to get into it.
No, I mean, we all in within the,
but at that time, nobody knew why. Right.
Yeah. Nobody knew why, but you just start to wonder like, why is Pablo not in the national team anymore? But he called out Bob.
I just want to throw it out there. He called out Bob Bradley, and this is the best. Pablo called out Bob Bradley for saying that no one should have an automatic starting spot with the national team. It should always be earned. And that was in reference to Bob's son, Michael. So just so everybody knows. And after that conversation, Pablo Mastroianni never got called back in again.
Yeah.
So you guys can take that for what it's worth. Go ahead, continue here.
Yeah, I mean, the context of that is that Michael Bradley started his second game under Bob and started every game under Bob for the entirety of Bob's reign. Every single game that he was
I wish my I think dad it's almost 100% coach.
Don't get me wrong. At a certain point, Michael Bradley was the best midfielder we had.
Of course, he was.
Very long period. But there were also times that we were all in a rotation that didn't seem fair, that clearly Bob trusted Michael more than others in that situation. But when I think about, you know, building the roster of these teams, the point I was trying to get to before was that I was here in LA recently and Pierre, when Pierre Brieux, mm-hmm. who was our strength and fitness coach, and then eventually an assistant coach with the national team by title, had been talking to a friend of mine that I had just met when I had first moved out here. It was another French guy. And he had talked to me. He said, yeah, I caught up with Pierre. And Pierre said that you were a really good gamer, but you were horrible in training. And I remember that not always being I remember that being a case with the national team. Like I just never felt comfortable, never felt myself, never felt whatever. And I really struggled to like do it at the training level. And the reason I bring that back up is that you have to, as a coach, be able to see the players that you know you can trust in match time. Now you have some guys that can train well, guys that can't. And that was held against me because for a number of reasons, I'm sure. But other guys, we talk about Ricardo Pepi not being great in training and things like that. We've heard Greg Berhalter talk about, we've had a chance to look at them. And when you're talking about 2-3 days, that's really hard to prove yourself, right? It's a high stressful environment. You're stepping in as a new player and there's all these people in little groups having fun and laughing and joking. They got all these contacts because they play. Jimmy, you would know more than anybody. They played youth national teams together. They mm-hmm. played in a World Cup together. And now here you are, this outlier trying to like, you know, figure out where you fit into it. And then in a small amount of time, prove that you're incrementally better than a guy that's been in already. It's a lot to do in a small window. But when I look at this group and this roster that he's called in, there's a number of guys that are actually going to do it because there hasn't been, you know, there's a lot of bubble players in this roster that they need to get a final look at to know, are they World Cup caliber? Because even DeAndre Yedlin, I didn't mention his name, but is he going to a World Cup?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think he is still a bubble player, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, he has more experience than anybody else on the roster. He's got 73 caps for the U.S. men's national team. And that speaks to what he can bring to the table. That experience matters. We know that experience does matter. And sometimes it can help the fine margins in your favor when you have somebody that's been there, done that. Maybe he says the right thing at the right time to the group. Maybe
so it could also just be, if not him, then who, right?
Right, in the situation.
In terms of backup of like, okay, it could be Joe Scally who could get the experience here. But what if I actually had to play Joe Scally with very little international experience in a World Cup where I could keep DeAndre Yedlin and know that, like, okay, it's not ideal. He's doesn't fit necessarily the mold, but I know what I'm going to get from him game in and game out. And there's something, Jimmy, the one thing you could say about your career was consistency, right? And there was a value held to that always that is sometimes more valuable than the potential upside or the fact that you could, again, we talk about this a lot, that potential 9.5 on a day versus, you know, being consistently an 8, or in your case, like a 6.5.
You know? Hey, but you knew that 6.5 was all heart, baby.
That 6.5 would kick your ankles for 90 minutes, and it was not fun to play against. But you know, it was gonna. But you know, those are the small details. They say 6.5 in jest, but like making it really, really knowing that you're gonna go in and make it hard. Jay DeMeritt had this same sort of mentality of just
he did
kick people, make it hard, like fight like hell. And you had other tools of reading the game and communication.
I always felt like if you're going to beat me, I'm going to make you earn it, you know. And if you're going to score, it's going to be the greatest goal you've ever scored in your whole entire life. And you know, fair enough if that's what you end up doing to have success. But I wasn't going to hand you anything, and so that was kind of one of my many modus operandis to kind of as I evolved as a defender and in my mentality as a professional athlete. Now we talked about John Anthony Brooks. Is there any players maybe that were left off this roster? Let us know in the comments right now on the YouTube. So if you're listening to this in podcast form, hit us up at ISWTPod on Twitter.
What about Tillman's brother? You think
Timothy Tillman obviously played a lot of games for Gutta Firth, 23-year-old, could help out in the midfield. I feel like we're kind of stocked in that area per se, but this is as good a camp as any to potentially bring him in, but they didn't. You have Ledesma, who just scored for PSV Eindhoven. I know he had been hurt or things were going his way. Didn't start any games in the Eredivisie this year, but came off the bench 5 times, but just recently scored. You have Alex Mendes, who plays for Vizela in the Portuguese league. They finished a couple spots above the relegation zone. He's safe. Played a ton of games. Another midfielder for us. Just scored recently against Porto. Maybe both of these players are 21. A lot of upside there. This probably, I don't know if their timing's right. You know, sometimes timing has to get played into this.
Lanina?
Slanina is another club. We talked about Slanina at the beginning of the show. It's crazy that, you know, he's committed in his future without any strings attached. I thought there was going to have to be some carrot to dangle in front of Gaga Slanina to get him to play for the U.S. moving forward. But he's going to go out there and earn it. I like that mentality about him, that nothing's being handed to him. He's going to go out there and
Valoran Balogun?
Balogun, that's an interesting one as well.
That one's more complicated because there hasn't been a dedication to the U.S., but
sure,
certainly... You're kind of basically saying, I'm still young. I'm going to figure it out. We'll see what happens for 2026, which is plenty of time for somebody his age. But, you know, it's kind of one of these, like, you know, people entering early now into the national team, committing like a Yunus Musa, are on a great track for the future. And then you still got to prove yourself for the next 4 years. I mean, half this team could be gone or not involved based on the fall-offs. Everybody looks like there's so much upside, but we've seen it before. It's really, really hard to keep a certain level for an entire career or a decade plus.
Okay, so question for you, and here's another question for everybody listening and or watching. Do you go out with your best lineup in your first game against Morocco? And we're going to obviously have a proper preview show for all this, and we can answer this a little bit more thoroughly once we know who's healthy and who's not. But do you throw out your best 11? Or do you mix the squad? We're trying to figure out our best center back pairing at this point. We're probably trying to figure out who's going to back up Anthony Robinson in the left back position, who's going to back up Serginho Dest in the right back position, right? And what are the chemistries that they have with Walker? Who does Walker Zimmerman prefer? If he's our first choice center back, who does he choose? And then goalkeeper, pretty wide open. Matt Turner now getting back to good form with the Revs before he makes his move to Arsenal later on this month. In June. But, you know, there's all these questions and the connections. I don't think Weston McKennie will play this first game. You know, what combination of three players do you have up top? I'm very curious as to if you could give me a lineup or what you're thinking. Vibes. Give me some vibes here, Heath Pierce, about what you think Greg Berhalter and the coaching staff would do. That's them. What would you do also if you had a coaching hat on right now?
Yeah, again, I probably want another couple looks at Luca De La Torre. I probably want Mihailovic to get some time as well. I probably want Joe Scally just to see where he fits into that.
But do you do it again, Morocco, Uruguay? When do you?
Yeah, I think you need a friendly but a good opponent just to see a style of play, how they fit into that. Joe Scally specifically, because he could end up being one that takes DeAndre Yedlin's spot or a Bello spot, or you know, there's a couple of different guys who he could eliminate. If you're looking at versatility and you're looking at being able to stack your decks at other positions on the field, that center back position, I've actually got a question for you on that in terms of. It's wide open now, right? I would say Aaron Long probably has the slight edge, or, you know, actually having said that, Eric Palmer Brown could also be kind of in the mix for that. Although again, Greg likes his versatility or his ability to do something new, which he's deployed him at. But if you're that guy, right, and you're five guys going for four spots or six guys, because Mark McKenzie wasn't called into this either. But there is some longer depth of knots who's not in there. Mark McKenzie has been playing the last month, but needs to probably get a more consistent run of games to get that spot back. And he's not new, right? You've got Eric Palmer Brown new. You've got Cameron Carter-Vickers new. You've got Aaron Long pretty new in terms of coming back from injury. If you're those guys, what do you think, Jimmy, is separating you from? Like, are you trying to fit in with Walker Zimmerman? Are you trying to do the things that I guess how much of that is going to be Walker and wanting and finding that bond, and how much of that's going to be like you and all out performance? Because Aaron Long probably has the hardest one to the least hard pathway to prove himself out of those guys.
This is really fascinating for me, because when I have now, while I was listening to you, I put my coaching hat on. And thought, what would I do here? Because I'm torn. You want to see these other players, right? You want to see what the Joe Scallies and Mihailovic's can do with the A group, right? I want to see Mihailovic and Pulisic play together. Mm-hmm. I want to see Mihailovic receive balls from Tyler Adams. Maybe De La Torre and Mihailovic is a combination that's just going to blow our minds. I mean, we just don't know. But then there's the other side of me going, we only have six goddamn games before the World Cup, and we need to continue to build the rapport and trust and understanding as much as possible. Yeah, we're going to have some closed door friendlies that are going to happen, I'm sure, the lead up to it and all that. And so there'll be some, you know, non-public opportunities to work on and fine tune those spots. But that makes me not know exactly where Greg is going to go and what I would do in that particular situation. But as it pertains to your center back spot, I always thought that when I played center back, it was nice to have a contrast between the center backs. If one was good at one thing, you want to find somebody else that's good at something else. They obviously have to be proficient at the basics. But for me, I was very good at putting guys in good spots. So when I play with Eddie Pope, when Eddie Pope spoke, you listened because he didn't speak very much. I don't stop talking, which is probably why I'm on a podcast and why I do media stuff. So how do you find that yin-yang balance between and play to the strengths of both of your players? Now, I had the benefit of watching Eddie Pope play when I was in high school. And when I was in college, I studied his game. So I knew how he was going to move in every situation because I wanted to be Eddie Pope. So the fact that I got to play with him was still surreal for me. But that's what I think you're looking for. So if you got Walker Zimmerman, who brings you, you know, these five strengths, but maybe isn't as strong in this one other area, is there a partner that can fill that void and balance this out in a really meaningful way? That's what I think you're trying to find. And I don't know which of the players has the complementary skill set to what Walker Zimmerman brings, assuming Walker Zimmerman's your number one guy, which I think we could all agree that he is. But then who is it? And that's still wide open. I think Eric Palmer Brown for me gets a slight edge, but I want to see Cameron Carter-Vickers. Aaron Long obviously is a longtime favorite of Greg, so I think he's going to get a chance. But is he too much like Walker Zimmerman? You know, I don't know if you want to have a guy that's exactly like him, where I think that Eric Palmer Brown brings a little bit something different. Cameron Carter-Vickers is going to bring a little bit something different. And that's what I look at when I'm trying to build out a team. How can I get complementary skill sets for my these partner, the meaningful partnerships in different areas of the field.
Yeah, Jimmy, I know we need to wrap this
I don't want to wrap it up.
Well, I know.
I want to talk about this
forever.
Our
producer's going to freak out if we give him 7 hours of live shows in a day. The one thing that I did just notice while I was scrolling through Twitter is that Richie Ledesma apparently turned down a call up. Still potential for dual nationality and turn down this call up.
No problem. Like for me, I don't know how you feel about it, but with the whole Gaga Salonina, somebody asked me about it. I said, I just want this guy to be happy. Our careers are short. And if he feels like, if any of these players feel like they have an opportunity to go play and be valued in a way that they want to be valued, they should go pursue that opportunity. I don't feel like we should be holding back or peer pressure and making anybody feel guilty about their choice. If Ledesma thinks that playing for Mexico is going to be best for him in his career and it means more to him and his family to do that, dude, I have your back as a former national and U.S. national team player. If you play for Mexico is where your heart is, dude, go do that. You know, and if you think that's a better opportunity for you, you're going to get my 100% support. I just wanted to throw that out there because I think this dual national thing stuff gets a little crazy at times.
I agree.
All right. Well, that's the show then, huh? We done?
I guess
we're done. We don't have to be done. Well, we're going to make it done because you know why? We have a lot of this conversation
we have a lot more
to get into moving forward. We do 3 shows a week. If you're new here, everybody, every Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Maybe we'll add a Tuesday in there, but we'll also have special previews for all these games coming up. We'll do live match recaps, and we have special guests. I mean, we had Eric Palmer Brown earlier this week. We had Eddie Johnson the week before that. We had, who else? Hector Moreno, Mexican national team player. Hugo Perez, right? The coach of El Salvador. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got it working on this one. Lori Lindsay and Professor Stephen Bank were on earlier talking about the collective bargaining agreement for the U.S. men's and women's national teams. Big, big news there, of course. So make sure you hit like and subscribe. If you're listening to podcasts, hit that subscribe button as well. This was an emergency pod. We'll keep these coming if there's big news to share. So on behalf of producer Alex and Dez and Charlie Davies, who's not here, but he says he misses everybody, and of course, Hollywood Heat Pierce, I'm Jimmy Conrad saying thank you for listening to Soccer We Trust, and we will see you next week. Later.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.